Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in to episode 100 of the big show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Thank you very much for tuning in to this joy, this festivus? Maybe it's festivus for the rest of us. Occasion. 100. Well, that's something actually. I will say right off the hop. If you think I have anything planned exciting for episode 100, you are going to be sorely upset. But that's all right. we're used to letting people down around here. No, thank you very much for tuning in. And I had a beer crack right for the when I was going to start, and I had already recorded about a minute and a half into this, and then. My power flickered and I lost it. So there we go. Episode 100's off to a hot start already. So we'll see how long the power stays here. Thank you. Welcome. You know, guys, to be completely honest, I talked to Jay over there in Finland and about the 100 episode coming up, and we had kind of talked about doing different, you know, I should do different things or do kind of a greatest hits or do sound bites from the different interviews. And, All of that would have been better than what I'm doing, which is nothing. But honestly, guys, I'm so busy right now doing other things that I don't want to say that I didn't do anything for this episode or I don't care or anything like that. That's not the right, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say. It's just, it's just really busy. And, you know, cause like I said, we're trying to sell the condo here. You know, we haven't put it up for sale yet. So we're still cleaning up and touching things up. And, you know, just between that and work, it just seems like, next thing I know, I blink and it's, you know, it's Tuesday or it's Saturday and I got to record for the next day. And, you know, and the player interviews have been a little slow coming in. I'm talking to a couple guys. Really looking forward to, well, I always look forward to talking with everybody, but, a couple guys coming up that I think, hopefully I can get on and, cause I know they've never done podcasts before. So, I think that'd be really cool to hear a new voice. But I will say, though everybody listening, you went and listened to the two-part Zach Fitzgerald interview, episodes 98 and 99. I know a lot of people listened to it because I saw the numbers, and I really want to thank everybody in the United Kingdom who really blew that episode up. I heard a lot of feedback from you guys, and it was great to see. And, and I know Zach and I were really excited by the numbers. I know I took a couple screenshots for him and sent him over, and we had a chuckle. It was like number 4 on the Chartables hockey account or hockey listings for the UK, you know, which is really humbling. And yeah, guys, it's been really cool. And I was really happy, really proud of that interview. And I thought Zat did a great job. And like I said, the feedback's been really, really good. And yeah, and I will say for all the UK listeners, again, yeah, every time I have a guy on that's played over there, it's been huge in terms of listens, from Riley Emerson to Nickerson to Grimaldi to Kovacs and Mike McWilliam and McMorrow and everybody that I've had on. Yeah, it's always been a real positive. And so I want to thank the folks over there. Thank you guys. Yeah, and I'm trying to line up. In terms of the fighting over there, he's definitely a UK legend, and I'm trying to line it up for you guys. So I think you guys will really dig it if I get it. I'm not going to call out names in case it doesn't happen, but I know he's never done a podcast interview before, so that should be a lot of fun if I can get him. But yeah, guys, yeah, episode 100. You know, I'd like to really thank Isha and Dylan and the producer Pigeon and everybody over at the network. You know, that stripper you sent over wasn't, you know, I'm not going to complain, but I mean, I don't know. You know, his name was Randy and he ate all my burgers, you know, or was it Smokey that he wanted me to call him? Yeah, so we kind of sent him away, but nobody understands. If you've never watched Trailer Park Boys, you have no clue what I'm talking about. Well, I know that Isha, I mean, Big Spender, he sends over a six pack of Lucky Lager. Yeah, that's my standing at the network after 100 shows. Yeah, I get a gift card for Lucky Lager. Yeah, 10% off my next six pack. So that's where I am on the network. No, it's been, I can't thank those guys enough. Cause I, at that time I wasn't doing a show, my website had crashed. And, so that's the one thing whenever it's episode 100, I mean, it's 100 on the network. I will say, I've always said it's got an asterisk beside it because, when I first started the show on the network, every Wednesday would be a new content show, and then every Sunday was a vault episode. And what I mean there is, I would, for new listeners, I would play one of my old player interviews off my old website, and so it would be the McMorrow or the Wingfeld or the Steve McIntyre or the McMorrow, Josh Mazur. Josh Mazur was the first player I ever interviewed, and then Dakota Hodgers. Yeah, so, I mean, I would play those on Sundays. So, really, the only thing new on there was a new intro. So, a new 10 minutes or so on the Sunday episodes. Up until about episode 40-some, I think. And then it's all been original from there. So, it's episode 100, I guess, in theory. But, yeah, it's, you know, so. But, nonetheless, for people that are in podcasting, I don't want to say this is a big deal or whatever, but it's kind of a milestone in terms of the podcasting game. I think somebody sent me an article once. I think it was William from The Biscuit, actually, because he's at 2-something now. I mean, I can remember when he had 100 because I sent him a soundbite to use on his show. But he sent me an article and, it's something like for all the podcasts that start, I think they average 13 episodes or something like that. And, so to get to 100 in that sense is really cool. Cause I mean, I've seen shows come and go and I'm still around and it just seems like everyone and their dog has a podcast and, and they drop off and like I said, they come and go or things happen. And I mean, and it is, and honestly, and again, for the podcasters out there that are listening, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It is a grind and, it's not just as easy as to sit down and hit record. I mean, you know, if you have You know, I don't know, maybe if you're a shut-in or something and you're working from home, then it's easy. But, I mean, when you, you know, have a, not that I have the big active swinging social life anymore and or anything like that, although I will say probably, and I don't mean it to sound like this, but I'm sure the pandemic probably actually helped in a lot of cases with getting out this many episodes, because what else were you going to do, right? There's nothing going on. So, I mean, we didn't go on our vacation. Well, no one did, but you know what I'm saying? And myself, just saying, like, we didn't do our Vegas vacations. We didn't go to Edmonton and all that stuff. So, all those would have been opportunities to miss an episode or two. In that sense, the pandemic really helped me get to 100. We'll put it that way. But it's tough, and you're trying to, especially if it'd be one thing if I was just doing solo episodes every week, I would say then it would be easy, because I could definitely rant once a week. That'd be easy. I decided to do player interviews, and that is where the big battle has been. Because now you're basically asking a stranger to take 2 hours out of his life for no money or anything like that, to sit down and talk to you. So to try to line up schedules sometimes is brutal. And I've been quite open that I've had guys ghost me and, oh yeah, sure thing, bro, 7 o'clock Tuesday, and then you never hear from them again. That's happened a bunch of times. So now all of a sudden it's Tuesday night. This dude was supposed to be here at 6 o'clock. I can't get a hold of him. And it's like, oh shit, I need an episode for tomorrow. So then it's like, hopefully someone's around that I know that I could phone real quick. Or you get a solo episode. So then you're scrambling for topics. Like, oh, what am I going to do? I can't just hit record and talk about my day. I could, but, you know, I think your listenership would really drop off. I can't afford to lose many more. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, I've also maintained that if I was going to do this, I always talk like it's a mud show and we scramble around and I yammer. Sometimes I take the meandering wander around and, you know, and stuff like that for some of my solo episodes. But I do have some topics written down and, now you might not agree with what I'm talking about, think I'm full of shit, but I mean, I'll at least, you know, what are we going to do? I don't know. What should we talk about? Hold on. Will I go on the internet and look? And okay, yeah, maybe we can talk about that. You know, no, it's not that. I mean, I'm right here. It's like I'm looking at my sticky note that has bullet points of what I'm going to talk about. I don't have it written out or like in terms of what I'm going to say, but I mean, that's sort of a feel thing. But some episodes it really works. And some episodes it's like, you know, popcorn fart, and you know, and it's and I mean, I'll know it when I'm done sometime. Like, I mean, I've sent texts to Alex sometimes or to Jay and it's like, oof, worst episode ever, you know. And you know, but then you get feedback from some people that really enjoyed it, and like I've been told a lot of times that the Sunday episodes are their favorite episodes when I get all heated up and I'm ranting and everything. So, you know, I guess it depends on, you know, what you're listening for, but it's been tough and very trying at times. And there's been a lot of times, like I said, I talked to Alec a lot about this, Alec and Jay, cause you definitely need, and the same when Alec had his show. There's another example. You know, Alec is done with the podcasting. And I mean, you know, and he's a young guy busy with work and they're trying to get into a home and he's trying to get back into the military. And I mean, at that point of his life in his mid-20s, you know, he's got a lot going on. So it's very hard to do a show. And like, and as much like myself, he wanted the show to be good. Again, if it was just, oh, hit record and yell into a microphone for half an hour. Yeah, I'm sure Alec could do that once a week. But that's not something he wanted to do. He wanted, you know, and when you do a player interview, you know, oh, where'd you play junior? Well, would you like it? You know, no, I mean, you want to do the research and where did he play and his teammates and who he fought and that type of thing. So you definitely don't want to mail it in. So all that takes time. Researching takes time. And you want to present a good product. It's time consuming. And I can completely understand why Alec doesn't have time anymore. And I mean, I'm not at that stage in my life anymore. I'm almost twice as old as he is. So I'm married already. We have a place. We're moving into another place. So that's a little up. We're both buying houses, but I'm not going anywhere where I work. I've established where I've worked. I'm middle aged and I have some more free time than he does. So it sets up a little easier in my schedule. Cause he's got the floating work schedule and it's all over the place. I know I'm done at 3 o'clock every day. And I don't work on weekends. It's a lot, my life's more set up, to do this type of thing. I completely blanked out on what I was saying. See, that's the other thing. I get stopping and starting and stuff. Sometimes I lose my place of what I was saying. Anyway, it's a tough go. To get to 100 is actually, it is pretty cool. I was saying before, with Alec and them. I've talked to him about quitting a bunch of times because he gets so frustrated with players ditching you. And it can be very disrespectful. I've had arguments with guys over it and there's just some guys that, for whatever reason, I don't know why they ditch you, why all of a sudden they feel that they're it's just a lack of respect and whatever. Which is unfortunate. I don't know why people would do that to people, but I'm not chasing them around and, hey bro, what are you doing now? Are we going to do it? Like, no, you gave a time and a day, and if you don't show up, I might send you one text. Hey, like, what's going on? What are you doing? And if I don't get a reply, well, then that's, guess you don't want to do the show that bad. So, and we move on. And it sucks because there's been a couple guys that I really wanted on the show, but they didn't want to, then that's fine. I've had guys, I just don't know why you wouldn't say no. What do you say yes for and then just like no, not show up? I mean, why not? If you never wanted to do it, just say no in the first place and we can all get on with our lives, So that part was frustrating, but anyway, enough of that. This is a positive. We made it to 100. Now, I'm not going to promise you assholes 100 more. I don't know about that. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Right now going forward, I'm going to keep doing the show and doing as best I can and getting interviews for you guys. I'm easy for you to say. I'm hoping that you guys will keep listening and tell your friends. It sounds so funny to say, but it's like, I don't have an advertising budget, so my advertising is you guys. If you have a friend out there that was into old time hockey or like the tough guys, tell them about the podcast. Maybe he's not a podcast guy. I've talked to a few people that, I wasn't a podcast guy, but I started listening to your show. Maybe that's what it takes. Because I'm on the network and to keep me on the network, I'm going to need you guys to listen to the show. So download it. Don't stream it, please. Download it. That's how I get paid. So if you're streaming this right now, I said the one time, can you hit stop and download it and then start listening again? Because help old Darren get paid. Honestly, that's how I do get paid. It goes by download numbers. So when you stream it, you're not helping anybody. I'm thankful that you're listening, but I sound like Lars Ulrich, but maybe don't download. I guess he would be like, don't download it. No, if you could download the episodes, those would be great. It helps me out. Because it gives an indication of where I am with the network and that type of thing. And I honestly do get paid by the download. So, yes, please. But, Yeah. What are we going to talk about here on number 100? I have a few topics. Like I said, I'm just sort of treating this like another episode, another rant episode. I know it's Wednesday, and normally it's interview day on Wednesday and then rant episode on Sunday. But since the Fitzgerald interview went two parts, obviously it was a Wednesday and a Sunday, so I didn't want to break it up. So you've had two interviews in a row. I spoiled you guys. It's the same guy, sure, but you're going to get stuck with my ranting. First of all, I want to congratulate a couple guys. First of all, the first one would be Brett Gallant, who just played his 400th professional hockey game. And, man, they don't come much tougher than Brett Gallant. They really don't. And, you know, I just want to congratulate him, and, you know, he's still going, and, you know, which is, I'm just trying to, this is where I'm really professional. I want to see when he started playing pro hockey, because I know he played in the Manitoba, or the Maritime League with Summerside, and then, 09. Yeah, so 11 years. Started in Elmira in the East Coast League. The Elmira Jackals, with Steve Martinson as his coach. And, and I can remember my friend Eric telling me, hey, you got to see this tough Maritimer, man. And he did not, he was not wrong. I mean, he had been in the Quebec Junior League with St. John for a few couple seasons, and Summerside, and then turned pro, and he's with Elmira, and then, a little bit with the Reading in the East Coast League, and then Bridgeport for a bunch of years, and for 5 years he was in Bridgeport. I didn't realize he'd been in Bridgeport that long, and Lake Erie / Cleveland for the rest here. Like I said, Curtis Gabriel has said it himself that, and I've had a few guys say it, that Brett Gallant's the toughest guy in hockey right now. And that's including the NHL. And, I really wish, this isn't a shot at Brett, but at he's 32. I mean, you know, I believe the sun has set on that. He got his NHL games. I wish the Islanders had given him more time. And then he gets called up and he drops Matt Cass in his fight, you know, and so it would have been nice to see him get some more NHL time. But he had a great fight in the preseason. That was here in Saskatoon when he fought Brian McGrattan. So that was cool. Or was it Regina that he fought? No, it was in Saskatoon he fought McGrattan. And there is video of that fight out on YouTube. And he did great in it. And this is right at the height of, a Big Earn and, kind of being the champ. Do I keep saying Grattan? Like, I mean Gallant. How many times have I said Grattan? Brett Gallant. Did I say Brett Grat? What am I doing here? I've just like caught myself about to say Grattan, and I'm starting to think back. How many times have I said Grattan? Gallant. Yeah, Brett Gallant. And his brother Alex, who's a bad dude too, who's still playing and beating people up, between the two of them, Jesus. Brett Gallant. Sorry, folks. Now that's bugging me, but I don't want to go back and edit because we're 20 minutes in and I don't want to redo this episode. So, forgive me for saying, if I was saying Grattan, now I can't remember if I was or not. I don't know why that was stuck in my head as Grattan. But anyway, maybe I didn't. I don't know. Yeah. Episode 100, folks. This is good stuff. But no, just Brett Gallant. And Curtis Gabriel said, he's the toughest guy probably in hockey. And he's awesome. And I've talked to him a bunch of times on Twitter. Tried to talk him into doing the show. He's not a big talking guy. So he kind of politely declined, which is a shame, because I think he'd be a lot of fun to talk to. And maybe someday, after he was retired, if I could talk to maybe get a few Alexander Keiths in him and we could open him up. I know Alex Gallant did William the Biscuit Show, so maybe we'll get Alex on. I'd like to do that too. Have Alex on. Maybe we'll do a brothers. Maybe he can talk Brett in when they're back home one day. Maybe they can you know sit around to get him on a Skype call or something, and we could do something. But because I'd love to talk to him. I know Joe would be over the moon to talk to him. So you know Joe with the Islander the show there. But oh yeah, I didn't do the sponsors. Actually, I'll do that right now. I know I have to. I always want to say this in the shows. I've done it for 100 episodes. I'm going to do it for 100 more, guys. So break this in. I didn't realize, because I don't go back and listen to my stuff. I didn't realize about the ads that they put in at the start of the show. You know, with the DraftKings and that type of thing. I've had somebody. They didn't complain to me about it, but they kind of brought it up. I will say, you know, that. Honestly, that's how we pay for things around here. And in truth, I should be doing those ad reads. I need to get on that. I just think they kind of have something plugged in, so they just do it. But that's my own fault. But nonetheless, even if I was doing them, you were going to be getting an ad. You know, unfortunately, with podcasting, that's when you're on a network and you're trying to and you have talent getting paid and to keep the bills paid, you need sponsorship. Well, those ads. You know, it's not like we can slap them on the boards and you can just see them as we're playing. I mean, obviously, in the podcasting audio world, you need to do the ads. And I know it's annoying, like when you're watching YouTube and all of a sudden an ad comes on and you try to skip ad really quick. It's the same idea. That's how YouTube pays. That's how YouTube creators get paid, is through those ads. And that's how us podcasters get paid, is through those ads. So, on one hand, I'm going to apologize to you for, you know, I don't think we're going to, swarm you with ads as we go on here. But I will say, going forward, there might be a few more ads here and there in the show as we get sponsorship. And I hope that doesn't, I don't think it would. I don't think anybody would stop listening to a show because of it. I'd hope not, because I'd hope you guys listening would understand why we're doing it. At the same time, I'm thinking going forward, there'll probably be more ads in this show. Because obviously due to show length as well, it sort of sets up to have more ads in it. I was going to apologize, but I'm not going to really apologize for it because it's commerce, right? And that's how we get paid. So sorry for the inconvenience. I don't want to tell you to fast forward it because all the sponsors are... Oh, the network guys are yelling at me right now to not say that, you know. But at the same time, I know with DraftKings, I know there's a lot of guys that bet out there and like are into fantasy sports. Check out DraftKings. I mean, I'm sure if you're really into it, you already do anyway. But if you're thinking about the fantasy sports thing and stuff, and you're on another, I'm not a big fan. I'm like a sports bettor, but I'm not a big into fantasy stuff. I mean, we used to do fantasy football, obviously, back in the day. But you know, in terms of like the daily fantasy sports, I know what it is, but I haven't really done it. My brother's big into it, though. And I don't know if you can do it other places or whatever, but if you haven't done it and you're looking into doing it, like I said, DraftKings and the promo code's THPN, the Hockey Podcast Network. For your first deposit, check it out. And and that's what we're doing. And like I said, going forward, we had a cool hockey thing, and you know, we try to do different promos. I'm going to try to get a couple sponsorships, maybe, that if you use, you know, 4LV or something, we can get a discount and try to find some cool shit. I actually have a few guys, and I know there's a couple characters that have been on my show that have businesses that I would like to, I'm going to talk to off air and hopefully maybe get them, you know, sponsor the show, or we could do a couple giveaways or something, or get you guys listening a discount code. Because I think that'd be kind of cool, right? Help listeners out too. And we always say you're buying the shit anyway. If I can help you get 20% off or something, hey, why not? 20% is 20%, right? Especially in this day and age. So going forward, I'm going to say you're not going to hear less ads. We'll put it that way. You're only going to hear more. But at the same time, I don't want to turn it into a, you know, a European hockey jersey. But, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a few more here and there. And I really hope you guys actually support them. You know, if it's a product that you guys like or are interested in trying, I hope you do. And you use the promo code because that helps the network out. It's all, you know, kind of, it's all circular, right? And we all helping, you know, you're helping us out and all the network and all the shows. And, so yes, there's my little ad thing, but I should be doing these ad reads, but, no, I'm a proud member of the Hockey Podcast Network, and there's over 50 shows on the network. It seems every day they're getting a new show and they're putting it on. All the NHL teams are represented, so whatever team you're a fan of, there's a show for you. Also, myself, Terry Ryan, Brad Lieb, there's, you know, we're on the original content side. I know they just started a new show. I know they have an analytics show, and I want to say this is a mental health show. The name escapes me. I just read it briefly online the other day. But I know they're always trying to get new, not just with the NHL teams and stuff like that, but they're trying to branch out into different areas of hockey, whether it be analytics, myself and with the fighting department or whatever you want to call it, the ex-player with Terry Ryan, Brad Leaves kind of a life after hockey. This one is the mental health, aspect of the game. So I know the network has really tried to branch out, to a number of different fields. And so they're always adding stuff. So I encourage you guys to check those shows out. For my off network friends, of course, Joe Lozito over at the Coliseum Chronicles. He has an Islander Enforcer podcast. If you listen to this show for any length of time, you know Joe's show. He's had Mick Fakoda on, Aaron Ashram, Eric Bolton. Right now he's in the middle of the Trevor Gillies marathon. He's on episode 5 with Trevor Gillies. It's been a great interview. Yeah, Joe does a great job. He does a season's breakdowns. I laughed. He actually just did a rant. His last episode was a rant episode. I can feel you, Joe. I feel your pain. But yeah, he is, Joe's been around. I'm not as old as Joe, as I like to point out. Like I always say, I believe Joe's social security number is 6. Hold on. You know, was it so old they didn't have history in school? That type of thing. So I'm right there with Joe. I'm catching up to him slowly. You know, we're getting that old when we, you know, when we cough, we fart, we sneeze, and we piss all at the same time. That's how old we are. But you know, but not as old as Joe. No, Joe's so old that he was around when the Dead Sea was just sick. So. How many more Rodney Dangerfield jokes can I throw out there? But, no, Joe does a great job. And like I said, you know, it's been great, you know, with this hobby and in the fight community. I've known Joe for 20 years, going back to the old message board days, talking to him on there, read his stuff in magazines and in books. And it's been a real fun journey. Kind of taking the podcasting journey with them as well. And, again, another guy that I talk to privately a lot about things, to do with podcasting or with guests or show ideas or, and stuff like that. And Joe's always got time for a response and reading it. I know it's a thought out response. It's not just, oh yeah, yeah, no, that'd be good too. You know, I know he took time into replying to it and I always appreciated that. And I know, if I reached out and called him, it'd be the same thing. I know I'd get a good conversation out of him and thoughtful answers. And I appreciate that, Joe. Thank you very much. And, you know, and hopefully Joe feels the same and we, bounce ideas back. Oh, phone calls. It's a real classy operation here. Now I'm distracted. Where was I? Oh, I was doing, with Joe and, you know, thank him for all the time he takes to respond to my ranting and bitching and my questions. And, you know, and same, I know, well, I would think Joe knows that. I mean, he could, phone me or text me at any time, and I'll do my best to give them a solid answer. And so no, it's been really fun in that sense, kind of taking that podcasting journey with Joe. And you know we try to help each other out as much as we can, and try to get with guests or whatever. I mean, Joe's obviously, it's a little tougher, you know, with the Islander themed of his show. Obviously, I'm wide open and can have whoever, so it's a little different in that sense. But definitely try to help each other out, and it's been great. And but definitely check out his show. He's got an amazing back catalog, and like I said, Joe's thorough, does a great job, takes it serious. And yeah, also Dan, Paul, and Kelly at the Obey the Puck show. I got my Obey the Puck show threads. My t-shirt is here. Looking stylish. I am ready for Fashion Week in Milan. And but they do a great job. And Fred and Dave over at the Slewfoot show. It's a couple current shows. I know I always bitch about current hockey, but I always listen to them because they're good people. And I always say I listen to them so I don't have to watch. So thank you. Yes, they do a great job. And yes, and they're nice people. There are my plugs for my off-network friends. Now what, folks? On social media, if you are so inclined to be on there, although these days I don't know why anybody would be, but if you are on social media, check out my Twitter account. Well, everything's Fourth Line Voice. Fourth Line Voice on Twitter, Fourth Line Voice on Facebook. So send me a friend's request or a follow or what have you. Drop me a line. As they say, the DMs are open, as the kids say. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. If there's a topic I should talk about, there's a guest I should get, or if you want to come on and you have a story to tell me, I'd love to hear about all of that. Drop me a line and let me know. As well, the big one, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, over 2,500 fight videos from junior to pro. I have everything sorted, so if you want to do the little search thing when you get to this, to my site, yeah, it's all there. OHL, NHL, you know, WCHL. I got the West Coast Hockey League on there. I got lots of stuff on there. So definitely check it out. I will say, since joining Facebook about 2 months ago, it has really boomed my YouTube account in terms of views. You know, because I blast them all over Facebook, and you know, they'll get a couple hundred views in a couple days. And, you know, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, of a YouTube influencer, I mean, that's not a big deal. But, you know, in my section of YouTube, that's a lot of views. You know, so I'll try to keep putting up, I try weekly to put up at least a couple more fights every week. You know, sometimes you sort of forget, but definitely subscribe to the channel. And keep checking back. And like I said, I'll try to keep throwing up some new stuff for you. But with 2,500 videos, I mean, you got a lot of, I'm pretty sure no one out there has watched all 2,500. And I'm not putting up boring shit. So I can tell you they're all good or unique in their own way. And they might not be the greatest fight, but they might have some, in terms of hockey fights. I also try to put up stuff that has like some historical value in the hockey fight sense. Like recently I had the Hershey Bears DVD, and I put up Craig Berube's fight with Dwight Schofield in Hershey. And, you know, the fight was okay, but it was not, you're kind of watching it. It was like, yeah, great. But the significance was that was Craig Berube's first pro fight. So I thought that was really cool, and I wanted to put it on there. You know, just stuff like that. Or, you know, you see guys in junior like Colton Orr and Swift Current or Wade Belak with the Blades. Try to put that stuff up so you get to see them as teenagers just starting out, or in the minors. Like I just put up a Belak, it's been up for a while, but I put it on Facebook, you know, Frank Bialowis and Wade Belak fighting in the American Hockey League playoffs 1 year, you know, Wade's with Hershey, Frank's in Philadelphia. So that was, you know, just stuff like that, you know, or a guy, like I said, a guy's first fight or what have you, you know, something with, you know, where you don't see him every day, you know, I'd love to say I put up some Bob Probert Jr. fights, but unfortunately, those aren't, I think there's about five of those in existence, unfortunately. Although I do have some pretty good American League stuff. Maybe I'll start putting that up a little bit. You know, but Tony Twist with the Blades, Kelly Chase with the Blades. You know, some good, Kordick, John Kordick, in the minors. Scott Parker with the Kelowna Rockets. All that stuff you'll find on my channel. Again, for most of the people listening, you already know this. So I know I'm chewing my food twice, but, you know, I know hopefully I picked up a few new listeners from the, oh, I might have lost a friggin' 30 minutes into this mud show. But I have some new listeners, well, I know I have some new listeners because I see the numbers keep going up. So I'm not trying to sound like an asshole by saying that or arrogant or whatever, but I mean, it's true. I've seen the numbers go up. So clearly I have new listeners. So I would encourage you to please check out my YouTube channel and subscribe, and that way you won't miss a single punch. But another thing, guys, and I'm all seriousness. I'm going to break this down for you here. I had Steve on a few episodes ago from when ProvertWasKing.com, and Steve has started up a GoFundMe because everybody remembers the Drop Your Gloves website, you know, the yellow site with all the fight cards that everybody went to and had video on it, and it was a tremendous site that just went away. And everybody's ever since then has bitched and moaned about the fact that it's gone. And I'm serious, guy. I'm going to give a bunch of people shit right now. Steve has started up the GoFundMe. He's looked into it. He finally took the bull by the horns. Everybody whined and complained for a year that it's been gone. Well, Steve finally went, and went in and found out how much it's going to cost to do such a big media site and everything else. And yeah, it's not cheap. And especially with that much that we want to do with it, adding video to it and everything, it's like 10 grand. And to get it done right, we're not talking some GeoWare site from 1999. This is some serious shit, and for what we want to do and the capabilities, it's really expensive. And he went to a computer guy, and that's shopped around, and that was sort of the price he was told. So he started a GoFundMe, and I had him on to talk about it, and Steve has been all over social media, Twitter and Facebook, putting it out there. So have I. So I know Joe has religiously put it out every day. You can't go to any hockey fight based Facebook page, I don't think, and see that link and the GoFundMe and Steve talking about it. And I'm going to say, guys, right now, and I'm for all my listeners out there and whatever, you know, I'm fucking really disappointed in people. I mean, I know it's tough times and everything, and you know, I'm not expecting people to give hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but holy shit. I mean, that old site had thousands of members. If we could all get every member to put in 10 bucks, shit, we'd have had the money by now. But I mean, all of a sudden, as soon as you need money, everyone gets alligator arms, you know, can't reach their fucking wallets. You know, last time I went and looked, there's less than 50 donators. Seriously? I mean, on social media constantly, I hear people crying that the Drop Your Gloves is gone. Well, here's your chance to bring it back. And oh, as soon as you ask for any money, it's, you know, fucking tumbleweeds. Like, what are we doing here? Like, do you want it or not? You know, and then we've had other guys. I know John tried to do with the fight DVDs, pick out 5 DVDs from his collection for $25. The money will go to the thing. He had a grand total of 1 person take him up on it. I've tried to sell the Probert print. I found the really cool Probert print from back in the day at the Red Wings uniform. You know, and I said, for $24, shipping included, you know, all the money will go to this. Oh, sold a grand total of 3. And I have tire kickers, for Christ's sake. Is it on flimsy paper? What kind of cardstock is it on? Seriously? I said $24, not $2,400. Holy shit, $24, shipping included? Canadian or American, whatever is easier for you to pay? And you go, I'll let you know. Oh, really? Oh, okay, thanks. You know, I will say, first of all, thank you to Kent Staniforth. He's not going to say it or put his name on the page, but I'll say it out loud. Who donated $224.24 for the Probert pitcher. So thank you, Kent. Good dude. By the way, also, for the folks out there in Lloydminster, you need your tires, go to Fountain Tire in Lloydminster. Kent will hook you up. Good dude. Any long-term listeners will know I've pumped Fountain Tire in Lloydminster up a few times. But Kent's always been a good dude, was a great guest, and has been more than generous numerous times with me. And for him to step up and do that was great. And And again, he's not going to say it. I mean, it could have been easy enough for him to go put it on there and put his name on there, but he didn't. Same thing, Josh Mazur, he donated. You know, and I know a lot of players that I've talked to love that website. Don't see your names on the donation list, boys. I'm calling you out on it. And again, I'm not saying everyone has to donate $224 or $500 or $100. Hell, $20, $10. Shit, if everybody that's bitched about missing it donated $10, we'd have a new site by now and we'd all be looking at it. But I don't know what the problem is with people. You know, you all want it. You all complain that it's gone. Here's Steve trying to get it going again. And, you know, all of a sudden you look around, no one's around anymore. You know, so I don't know what more to say. You know, thank you to Chris and Travis for buying the pictures. I appreciate it. Same with Joe. I dropped Joe's off at his house today. It was nice meeting you, Joe. I was on company time though, so I couldn't really stay and talk. I kind of wanted to kick up a wicker though, and maybe grab some beers and bullshit with you. Now that I know where you live, oh look at this area. You got to see the area Joe lives in. Holy shit, I'm in the wrong business. Garbage ain't paying. I was gonna tell Joe if I had your money, I'd burn mine. Holy, what a pad. Guard dog coming up front. Holy shit, it was a real scene. But I hope. By the way, I hope Mrs. Daniels enjoys the DVD. But thank you, Joe. But and thank you for listening. I appreciate it, man. Really do. And and when this is all cleared up and we got time and we're not in coverall and I'm not in coveralls, you know, we'll go for beers maybe. You're buying. but no, I mean, so yeah, four guys. Thanks, folks. You know, I put the friggin' picture up on the Probert fan site. I mean, holy shit! And how do I get this? This might be okay. Where's the link? Really? Like, I don't know beyond my post what more needs to be explained. I mean, if you want a picture, just send me a direct message, and we'll figure out whether you can e-transfer or PayPal or whatever's easiest for you. We'll get your mailing address, and I'll get it out the door to you. I don't know why everyone's making this so complicated. Are there more? Well, yeah. Like, I just printed them out on cardstock. Like, it wasn't about the Probert picture. It was about fundraising for the site, and this was sort of a bonus for doing it. But I see all these people love Probert so much. I'm like, well, this is kind of a unique print that I always thought was kind of cool. I've seen it sold on eBay for, like, $50. So I'm like, well, I'll sell it for $24, and, you know, we can get money for the site, too. And, you know, apparently that was, I don't know, charity is hard, I guess. You know, I don't get it. I thought I would have sold a whole bunch of these because I know the fundraising was going a little slow. So, and I was racking my brain trying to come up with something, how to make some extra money for it. And in my journeys of cleaning up the room here, getting ready to move, like I said, I came across that Probert print in a folder. So I was like, sweet. And I thought right away, you know, the light bulb went off and I thought this would be really cool to sell. And, yeah, all four of them, I guess, you know, so I don't know what more to say, for everybody listening out there that hasn't which is most of you haven't donated because, like I said, I think there's 50 in total. To those that have, thank you very much. Now, again, there's some ones that come up anonymous, so I don't know who they are. But I'm just, you know, if you ever went to that website, you know how good it was, and you know how much time you spent on it. And like I said, I get the times are tough, and some people can't afford it. I'm not talking to you. But I know there are plenty of people that can't afford it. And like I said, it doesn't have to be lots. $20. Something. Is it that hard? $20? I mean, you spend that in coffee in a week. You know, like, maybe just... Maybe don't get the extra large double. Get a medium for a week. And the 10 that's left over, give to the drop your gloves. You know, this isn't a scam. This isn't like... No, we want to get the site back up and going. And we all know how great it was. We all miss it. So Steve's doing this. And people are just shutting him out. I don't understand. Like, why? everybody loved this site. What's going on, boys? Like, what are we doing here? Why, you know, why do I have to sit and motherfuck you guys? Like, you know, I don't like doing it. I don't like yelling at people but I don't, you know, and again, I'm not expecting every single person to donate $100 that listens to the show. But I mean, if you listen to the show, I can guarantee you were on the Drop Your Gloves website too and spent a lot of time on it. So, and why would you not want that back? And Steve's, and you wouldn't want a more passionate person than Steve doing it. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I bitched about it last episode. I'm going to bitch about it the next episode. You know? Again, $10. $20. Sell something. And the proceeds go to the site. I don't know. Anything. It all helps. And we're all fight fans. We're all aiming to try to get the same thing. So, you know, hopefully the folks out there listening, you guys will donate. And like I said, just go online. The friggin' link is everywhere. If you don't have it or you don't know where to find it or whatever, just get a hold of me. I'll direct you to it. HockeyFights@Hotmail.com. Send me an email then if you're not on social media. HockeyFights@Hotmail.com. All one word. Yes, I still have a Hotmail account. Send me. Just put link in the subject title. And I will direct you to where to go. How about that? Yeah, here's another way. If you want a digital copy of the proper picture, like instantly, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. I'll send you the link, and as soon as you donate, I'll email you the digital copy of the proper picture. That way you can go to Walmart or Kinko's or wherever you want to go to or at your own house on your own printer and you can print it out, slap it in a frame and put it on the wall within 10 minutes. How's that? If you donate. Anybody donating right now, I will send you the digital copy of that picture for a donation. And that way you could literally have it printed out and on your wall in less than 10 minutes. HockeyFights@Hotmail.com. Or if you're on social media, you know where to find me on Twitter or on Facebook. Say, hey man, I just donated to the link. Where's my picture? And I will email it to you. How's that? I mean, you know, I'm just trying to raise money, guys. And, you know, I don't know what else to do. So hopefully you guys listening will do it. But what are we talking about here? I mean, I've ranted and raved about everything, and I've over 50 minutes in, I haven't really talked about anything. I think we talked about Brett Gallant playing his 400th game. Of course, Milan Lucic played 1,000. There's another guy I can remember from junior. I remember Chris out in Vancouver talking, oh, you got to see this guy we got out here, man. And, you know, played with Coquitlam in the BC League for a year, and then with the Vancouver Giants, and I've been a fan since then, and to see his... you know, to see him go on from junior all the way through the NHL to have the career that he's had, 1,000 games, you know, unbelievable. And, you know, and especially in that, you know, a physical type role like that to last that long, you know, tough guy. And I mean, yeah, he's got his detractors online, of course. And, you know, last few years, you know, offensively been a little tough, but, you know, and he's winding down obviously at that age and that many games. But he's proven here a couple times in the last little bit that he can still fight. And, you know, he's always a tough dude. And, yeah, I've always been a huge Lucic fan. And so 1,000 games is really cool to see from him. So congratulations. But one of the topics, like you guys know, I like to, when I'm bouncing around social media, I kind of write things down for the week or I see things in a Facebook group that it's like, that's sort of an interesting topic. You know, we're not going to talk about Scott Stevens this week. I think we talked about Scott. I think I talked about Scott Stevens about 3 weeks in a row. I'm done talking about Double S. One of the topics that did come up was kind of like what I guess would perceived as a knockout artist or, you know, guys with big KO reps and stuff like that. And of course, Joe Koser's name, rightfully so, always comes to, you know, probably the top of most people's lists, you know, in terms of that. But then somebody, I think it was Alec actually, brought up Rob Ray's name. And, You know, and then the sort of the debate became, well, Ray, he's not really, you know, Koser knocked out better guys, and Ray kind of knocked out secondary guys, and, you know, and all that. So really, we got going back and forth about the guys that each of them have knocked out, or TKO'd, or whatever you want to call it. And, yeah, it was sort of, well, I think, first of all, the idea of, I think sometimes it's lost on people that, like, how hard it is to knock someone out on skates. I mean, it's not boxing. You know, I mean, yeah, I know it's a bare fist fight, but, you know, so you don't have the power when you're on skates that you do, obviously, when you're on ground. And, you know, you're tugging and pulling, and there's jerseys and everything, and there's a lot of things that go into it. So, to get a knockout on a guy is really rare. Even a guy like Bob Probert, yeah, he won a lot of fights, but how many knockouts did Probert really have? Like, not many. You know, in the grand scheme, or Domi, or Berube, and guys like that. I mean, so it's not an easy thing to do. So, I'll preface this whole conversation with that. But it came up, and then it was sort of like, well, who was the bigger, whatever you want to call it, knockout artist, I guess, is, you know, I guess, for lack of a better term, Koser or Ray. And, yeah, so I've kind of, like, I brought up the old Drop Your Gloves site through the magic of the Wayback Machine. And, yeah, let's, you know, we could definitely have a look at some of the NHL KOs of, we'll start with Joey Koser. You know, yeah, Don Jackson, that was a big one. He busted up Jackson pretty good. Jeff Jackson, Brian Curran, Gary Nyland. Again, I'm just sort of quickly scrolling through where they have the win, loss, TKO. Now this could be debated if it was a knockout TKO or just sort of slipped, whatever. I won't break it down that much. I'm just going to kind of a food for thought, sort of make my example here that was being made in the discussion, and I'll let you listeners, you know, you can come up with it. Luke Richardson. I just posted that fight with Luke Richardson. I don't know if I'd call it a I wouldn't say that was a knockout, but of course the famous one was with Jim Kite, and you know, that was That was one of the most vicious hockey fight knockouts you'll ever see. He had one very similar, actually, in the American Hockey League with Jim Playfair. If you go to my YouTube channel, that fight is on there. And that fight actually almost ended, not only almost ended Koser's career, but he almost lost his arm. Because he ended up getting an infection. Because his knuckle, of course, hit teeth, right, with the saliva. And his arm puffed up, and he was in the hospital, and it was looking really bad. And you actually, if you Google Joey Koser hand or something or whatever, you'll see a picture of him in the hospital bed with the Tigers hat on and sitting there. And I don't think he knew how serious it was. But yeah, he almost lost his arm over that knockout because of the infection. But yeah, but vicious knockout of Playfair. It's pretty well spitting image to the Kite one. And, yeah, that was vicious. Claude Boivin, you know, Jay Caulfield, Troy Loney, Mike Eagles, Neil Wilkinson. You know, those are kind of the knockouts on Koser's card. Jim Kite at the time was a top guy. Jim Kite himself has said that fight pretty well, didn't end his career because he played a lot longer, but that really affected him, that fight with Koser. And he was never the same fighter after that. Before that, and of course now, yo, good night, Jim Kite, and all that stuff. And it's almost like, and very unfairly, is sort of viewed as a, you know, it's kind of a punchline to a joke, and it shouldn't be. Because Jim Kite was a bad dude, man. He was a tough guy, big guy. Fought wide open, did it a long time. But if you go back to early Jim Kite in the early 80s, I mean, he dropped Dave Brown. He had some great fights. And Jim Kite was a legit guy and a top guy in the NHL for a few years until, unfortunately, he ran into Joey. And then even after that, he was still solid. But Jim did take some losses. He had, of course, the brutal one there with with Dave Brown that everybody remembers that, you know, Brown's doing the... That was vicious, man. The ground and pound deal and all that. You know, and he took a tough one against Ray. And I mean, Jim did get caught a few times. But in the meantime, though, he was just a tough defenseman, though, and that, you know, to definitely be respected in terms of of what he did. But at the time, when Koester got him, he was a top guy. One of the, you know, so I'll give that one for sure. Other than that, those other names that I'm reading off, and I don't mean this in any disrespect to any of those guys, but again, we're not really talking. The point of this is what I guess I should have led with this. In the conversation, there's a bunch of us having it, and the guys that were sort of in the Koester camp, their whole thing was the amount that Koester knocked out and how he was feared compared to Ray. And there might be something to this. When people fought Joey Koester, yeah, they probably did fight him differently than they fought Ray. I mean, you would definitely tie Koester's right up a lot more. With Ray, you might be a little more freewheeling or feel that you could get away with going a little more wide open with Ray than you could with Koester. You know, I get what they're saying. I get it. Perhaps. I would think, though, after a few years, I think especially with Ray, with the Dave Brown, after that, I don't think people would be so eager to go open with Ray. And I say that, and well, to go back to Koester, I will say this, I'm a huge Joe Koester fan, and this is in no way meant to sound really disrespectful to him. I don't want to say it was easier for him, but I think for maybe not. Well, but I'm just looking, and it's like I think for a lot of times when he was in Detroit with Probert did the heavy lifting, you know. And I'm not saying Joey picked the spot. I'm not saying anything like that, or he was fighting scrubs, or. But you just go look, and it's just like, you know, just looking at his card, you know, Terry Johnson, Dave Langevin, Willie Plett. Well, Willie was all right, but he was at the end of the line there. You know, Doug Bodger, Rick Natras, Dave Lowry, Mike McPhee, Ryan Walter, Mo Mantha, Steve Dyke, Randy Moeller, Jerry DuPont, Randy Boyd, Evan Marquardt, Jim Pavese, Brad Maxwell, Joe Sorella, Jamie McCowan, you know, like Garrett, Shane Court, Jocelyn Lemieux, you know, Kevin Hatcher, you know, but I mean, he had the Curt Frazers and the McClellans and stuff on that, but I think he was a number two, like, but again, he fought McSorley and all that, and Berube, and, you know, he fought McSorley a bunch of times, Craig Cox, and, you know, Todd Ewan. He did fight Jay Miller. That was a really good fight, actually. You know, but, you know, for every one of those, there's a Dwayne Sutter, Rick Vive, Lindy Ruff, Dirk Graham, Dana Merzen, Del Garno, Rich Pilon, you know, Buckberger. I mean, you know, whatever, but not knocking Buckberger, but you know what I'm saying, though? Like, Taglinetti, you know, Featherstone, oh, those are big guys, though. But Gary Roberts, stuff like that. Adam Burt, Steve Conroyd, Dave Lowry again, you know. There's a lot, Daryl Shannon. Like, there's just a lot of names on there that, you know, are just secondary guys. And to me, Steve and I had this discussion when we talked about the top 25 of all time. I know there's a lot of people that love to yell about Koester being in the top 10 of all time. And that's fine. That's everyone's opinion. Everyone has an opinion about their lists. And Joey, again, I love Joey Koester. I'm not trying to besmirch his name or anything. But if you go back and you honestly look at his fight card and stuff, you know, there's a lot of secondary fights on there, secondary guys. And And I later on when he was at the Rangers and he was the lone gun, then he, you know, he really, you know, fought named guys because he was the lone guy, you know, with the Grimson Laws, Ed Probert himself, he fought, you know, Berube, Fakoda, Brashear, VL, Reed Simpson, you know, whatever, you know, stuff like that. You know, so his Ranger run was a little different than his Detroit run for sure. And you know, and of course Coaster always had the hand problems like pretty well right from the get go. But I don't know. I don't want to say I held it against him, but compared to other top guys, like when you talk about, again, I'm going off topic from the Ray thing, but when you talk about, to me, I've always been a big fight card guy. Who is your competition? It's like, oh, he barely lost. Yeah, but again, when you're fighting Daryl Shannon, you know, okay, you shouldn't be losing. You know, so that's always been my knock on Joey, has been his fight card, and for a lot of his career. And, you know, so to go, but to get back to the knockout thing, so again, when I'm throwing out these names, you know, like, well, let's do Ray's here. We'll do Rob Ray's. I mean, they initially start out, actually, it's funny, it was his very first NHL fight with Marquardt. I didn't remember that knockout. Right before I started recording this, I actually went to YouTube and looked it up. The angles, the camera angle is really shitty. It's hard to tell. And it's right along the boards, and it kind of throws an uppercut, and Marquardt goes down. But I don't. They have it as a TKO on here. I don't know about that. Maybe it was, but yeah, I don't know. But besides that, Gerald Diddick. I really like Gerald Diddick. You know, yeah, Kevin Dineen, Mark Potvin. I mean, you know, Jeff Chychrun, Scott Daniels, Jim Kite, Dennis Vial, Brad Brown, Steve Webb, Moose Morissette, Dennis Bonvy, Cote, Patrick Cote. I don't know. That was more of a he kind of clipped him with that one. Fedoric, I was going to say Ponikarovsky, but I probably won't throw that one out there. But so it's, you know, and I would add Dave Brown to that list. That was more of a sort of a standing, but you could tell Brown was dazed and the refs came in, and that was sort of, even Rob Ray himself has said that fight sort of was the one that turned his career. This is leading somewhere. So when we were kind of going back and forth, I brought up the Morissette and the Bonvy knockouts, to which the reply was, well, those are minor league, and Cote, and, well, those guys were minor league fringe guys. Well, yeah, but I'm like, you know, Morissette and Patrick Cote proved that they could obviously, and Bonvy, all proved that they could hang with NHL guys. Like Morissette buckled Probert, you know. You go back and watch Patrick Cote's 2 years in Nashville. He was, and especially his rookie year when he led the league in fights, he didn't lose many fights. And he dropped Sandy McCarthy, and there was a lot of good fights there. And you know, unfortunately his career got ended because of the drug bust at the border. But Morissette and those guys could hang in the NHL. And then it became, well, they're minor league guys. And which is a stigma that gets put on guys. And I think some people, not everybody, but some people, and I'm not saying the people that were involved in this conversation thought that, but I've seen it said before that, well, if they were that tough, they'd be in the NHL. You know, which, you know, that's not true at all. And it's the same with players. It's like I've always said, please don't think that every guy in the NHL is better than every guy in the American League, because that's not the case. And it was the same thing with fighting. Like, I just listed off, like, Jay Caulfield and Neil Sheehy and guys like that. Those guys played 400, 500, 600 NHL games. Do you really think Neil Sheehy was a better fighter than Dave Morissette, Patrick Cote, or Mel Engelstad, or Rocky Thompson? Are you high? Or Torrey Robertson, or Ed Kostelec? Claude Beauvin? Like, in terms of toughness, do you think those guys are tougher than Jerry Fleming or Link Gates? Like, are you insane? So, no, toughness had really no bearing on why they were in the American Hockey League or a lack of thereof. It was either contract, age, who they were stuck behind. Maybe the NHL coach just didn't like them. Or, I know in some guys' case, they wanted them in their top American League franchise to look after the prospects. Which, okay, it gave them employment, but it really kind of sucked for your NHL career. You know? So please get that. If you think that guys were in the American League because they weren't as tough as the guys in the NHL. Phew. If that was the case, Trevor Gillies would have had a hell of a lot more than 50 games. You know? Like, well, just what we talked about at the start of the show with Brett Gallant. Who in the NHL is tougher than Brett Gallant? You know? So, no, it has nothing to do with that. I mean, maybe some of these guys, their skills, they couldn't skate at the NHL level. You know, again, trying to say that with a straight face when, I'm not going to call out people that had NHL careers, but it wasn't like they were exactly, you know, flying out there. So, you know, yeah, Mel wasn't the greatest skater, but I mean, you know, was he any worse than, like, you know, Colton Orr or something? Probably not, you know. So, or at that point, we're picking at nits, you know, always a step behind. Well, you know, it's not like you're matching him up with the first lines out there. So, I think this minor league, oh, he's just a minor leaguer, was his comment. I'm like, well, okay. But, you know, Joey Koser knocking out Del Garno and Mike Eagles seems really big to you. But Ray dropping Morissette and Cote isn't a big deal because they're AHL guys. Yeah, I don't know. Now, again, I'm not trying to put Ray in the punching power of Koser, but I don't know many people that drop more guys than Rob Ray did. I'm trying, like, I've racked my brain. I thought about it. I don't remember. I don't know, people listening, do you remember anybody? Really, when you go back and look, like, yeah, every big-time fighter has some, as you would term it, kills on his card, but it's like, in terms of, like, what did I list off with Ray? About, you know, 7 or 8. You know, Brown had a couple, Probert had a couple, Twist had a couple, but not, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think. And not many more. And so, you know, and like I said with Koser, I mean, yeah, Kite, but after that, there really isn't a big name on there that he put down. So I don't think you could slag Ray for that. You know, when you're saying some of the guys, it's like, well, you know, and I'm not saying this in any disrespect to any of the guys that got knocked out or dropped by these guys, because they were all tough dudes and, you know, and all that. That's not what this exercise is about. I don't mean it to sound like I'm saying that. I'm just saying in terms of the, you know, the verbiage that I'm going to use while making this discussion. Yeah, so anyway, it was just a really interesting, and it was a cool back and forth. You know, everyone was civil and adult, and wasn't like we were motherfucking each other at the end of it or anything. I certainly didn't agree with their stance on the minor league guys. You know, I thought a little bit of it was a little disrespectful, or at least a little ignorant. But at the same time, you know, for a social media disagreement, it was very civil, which was odd, which is maybe a sad statement in itself. But yeah, so I'll let you guys sit on that one. And I will say the one thing when talking about Joey Koser all the time, everybody brings up the Link Gates fight that he had with Koser, and they go on and on about how Joey destroyed him. And I've said numerous times on here, and I've said it on social media, one of my pet peeves in life is needless exaggeration, when people use needless exaggeration. And I'm not in any way saying that that fight was close or even or anything like that. But if you're going to throw the word destroy on, the dude better be lying there. And Link took everything Koser had and was standing at the end of it. Yeah, he was bleeding, but he didn't go down. So I don't know, and he's throwing back and landing punches. go back and watch the fight with, first of all, Link's a rookie, and I think he's like 21 years old. But I know he's a rookie. So, okay. But, you know, not trying to make too many excuses, but I mean, he's taken everything Coaster's given him, and he's throwing back. I don't, like, to me, like, when Coaster drops Kite, that's destroying someone. Destroying someone isn't landing a few more punches and busting them up. Or, like, swinging him around or anything like that. I always laugh that everyone acts like he just destroyed Link Gates. Go back and watch the fight. Watch it on mute. I know what the announcers say. The announcers are also from Detroit. So, like, I'm not saying Coaster didn't win, because he won the fight, obviously. But just calm down with the whole, he murdered him. Okay. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just, it always just kind of strikes me funny. Or I get my eyes rolling when I talked about that, that's for sure. But, yeah, guys, I don't know. Oh, the other thing. Oh, the Marlowe thing. Not that, I mean, I know this is a fight podcast and everything else, but I can't believe some of the people, like, you just can't, like, okay, Marlowe is the all-time game. Well, yeah, but Gordy was way better. People remember Gordy. They're not going to remember Marlowe. And just, like, you just can't let it go. And, like, the Steve Simmons and guys like that, you're a fucking loser. Like, can't we just be happy for people? First of all, Marlowe's in the top 50 all-time scoring. He's going to the Hall of Fame. So I don't know why we're talking like he's some guy that was just happy to be lucky that he had a career. Like, you know, and oh, he's just hanging on at the end. Well, teams aren't going to pay a guy to hang on. Like, this isn't, you know, this isn't a charity. He obviously brings something to the table or they wouldn't sign him. But just, like, let the guy have his moment. And it's either these media guys trying to, like, get clicks or to be controversial or, I don't know, again, like, I don't know how Steve Simmons, like, looks at himself in the mirror. Like, aren't you embarrassed? Like, really? Aren't you embarrassed? I would be. Like, I read your tweets and I'm embarrassed for you. And these other guys pipe in and, like, oh, Marlowe's going to be an afterthought. It'll always be Gordy. Like, oh, just, no one's saying Marlowe's better than Gordy. He just broke the NHL gameplay record. Move on. Like, the one guy said, oh, Gordy's better. So I replied back, yeah, and? They tell you, what the fuck do you mean? No, what do you mean? Who said he wasn't? You goof. This isn't about Gordy versus Marlowe. Like, this isn't a comparing their careers. Marlowe himself wouldn't do that. But the guy has played a long, productive career, managed to stay healthy, avoid major injury, which in itself is unreal. Been productive. Yeah, he hasn't won a cup, but, I mean, there's lots of guys that haven't. But he won a couple gold medals. He's had a hell of a career. Why does that have to be diminished? Because you need to yell Gordie Howe some more. Oh, yeah, but if we count the WHA games, then it wouldn't even be close. Okay, well, are we going to start counting the KHL games for some guys? Well, hey, why don't we count the American Hockey League games, too? What? Like, just why? I don't know. I find myself saying just why a lot lately. And, I mean, there are some folks that just, like, I always laugh. I mean, I get called old and I yell at clouds. Holy shit. Are you serious? It's ridiculous, some of you. I mean, I've ranted about the Probert thing a number of times. Like, you can be online talking about two different guys and somehow Probert would beat him. Oh, okay, thanks. Like, that's not what we're talking about. I mean, I don't know. Some of you cling to just, like, I mean, I talk about me living in the past. Holy shit. And just tunnel vision, like, you can't see any, like, you got blinders on or something. It's embarrassing. But I don't know, congratulations to Patrick Marlowe, Saskatchewan guy. You know, what a career, man. You know? And, yeah. Right on. Well, guys, other than that, I don't know how much of an exciting 100th episode this was. But you know, I thank everybody who's listened to the show. The feedback that I get from you guys is always really humbling, and it's greatly appreciated. I love hearing when people listen to the show or get private messages. Hey, dude, listen to your show. Love it. For everybody that's recommended the show to friends, thank you. To all the players that I've interviewed, it's been a real pleasure for me. I say it at the end when we're saying it, but really the pleasure is all on this side of the microphone. Thank you for taking the time out to talk. Again, two and a half hours to talk to a stranger for not, you know, and it's not like I'm paying these guys or anything, or they're getting anything really out of this. Although some have said it's been therapeutic. But, and in some cases, actually, I shouldn't say that. In some cases, like with Jared Dumba and stuff like that, it was a real, it was like a conduit almost to getting back in touch with old fellow former teammates and stuff like that that they had lost touch with, but they happened to be listening to the show as well. And, I don't know what my throat went all dry for. And that's been a real fun part of me doing the show has been the interactions with the players, with fellow fight fans. Like I said, when I started my podcast back when I had my own website, fourthlinevoice.com, to see it's grown from there. I joke about being on the Chartables, and I'll sometimes put pictures up online. Believe me, I know all that's bullshit, but at the same time, like I've always said, I don't know how accurate those things are, and I don't take them very seriously, but at the same time, it does mean people are listening, and that's great, and, it's, like I said, when you can be number four in the United Kingdom with your Fitzgerald interview, that's great. Or when I had Mike Haley on, I was number 18 in Canada. They just go 24-hour periods, a daily thing or whatever. But for one day, I was 18th in Canada in podcasts, on Apple Podcasts. And you just think of all the podcasts that are out there. And I'm not doing this to brag. I'm just saying in a humble, respectful way that it's because of you guys, obviously. And I never would have thought sitting here with my microphone in my back room of my condo in Saskatoon, when I first started this, that 100 episodes later, I would be in the people listening to me in the UK or in, Brazil or in the United, down in the States and in Canada. It's been really humbling and a lot of fun. And then when you get the message, like the other day, a guy was talking to a former player. That's the guy I'm trying to get on the show. But they're like, but he's not on social media or anything. But they're like, oh, he listens to all your episodes. He really likes your show. Well, that was really cool to hear. And I know there's ex-players that listen. And I was saying the other day, I can't remember who I was saying it to, but I said, hey, at any time you get feedback from anyone, it's great. But I always say when I hear it from a player, especially coming from a non-playing background, like I was never a big hockey guy. I never played junior or anything. So you always, and I'm a fan. I realize I'm just a fan. I'm not trying to say that I'm anything more than that. But as fans, obviously it's not the same as an ex-player. So, I mean, like, a guy like Cam Jansons or a Matt Barnaby or a Brad Lieb or a Terry Ryan that are doing shows, well, they don't need the justification from the fans for their opinions or from their statements because they've lived it, they've went through it, they've been in the room, they fought those guys, they scored on those guys. So they can say that with all certainty because they've done it. All I'm doing is guessing because I haven't fought these guys. Or I'm not in that situation in the locker room and stuff like that, which I've always maintained. I'm well aware that I'm not. I wish other podcasters would do that. But Basically, what I'm saying is, when I get feedback from a player, I know I'm on the right track. And my brother played junior and played college, and I mean, believe me, he'll be the first to text me and, you know, say, "What are you doing?" You know, and I often look for him for answers, or I'll ask him questions, you know, because he has the credibility. You know, and he fought some of these guys. He fought Marco Cefalo and John Morasti and guys like that. So, I mean, I'd like to have him on the show. I know he'll never come on, but you know, he's an expert in it because he's done it. So I can talk to him about it, and I get his feedback on things. And I really appreciate the fact that he listens. And I know he busts my balls, and I know it took me a long time. And I'm saying this because I know he's listening now, and I've never had this conversation with him. And I know everyone's listening, but I'll say it now. I was always very proud of his career, and for him, I know to be proud of me doing this means a lot. And I should have told him about this sooner. It initially started as a joke that I wanted him to find it by accident, and then it sort of got away from me, and I never told him about it. And he found it by accident, and I felt, upon reflection, I felt really bad about not telling him. And I don't know why I didn't, though. Like, at first, I did it as a joke, and I was hoping he's going to stumble upon it, because I know he's a podcast guy. But he never did, and then he found it by accident, and I think he was kind of pissed at me that I didn't tell him about it, because I was, like, 50 episodes in or whatever. And, I know he's listening now, and I apologize to you. And I should have told you. And, and I felt bad about that. But going forward, it's been fun now with him kind of in the mix about telling me about certain things, or maybe you should do this, or ask a guy that, or what have you. It's been fun having him along for the journey as well, and seeing the show grow. And it's been cool. And I've sat here and downplayed the 100, and you know, it's just a podcast and goofy and all that, but it means a lot. You guys will have no idea how much it means to me to get the feedback from you guys. I can't say it enough. Not just like again, not just from the players, but from Jay and Alec and Joe and Farmer Rob and John from the Fight League. I wish you were still around, man. I hope you're listening still. Keep in touch. Chris out in Vancouver. My boy Napes, will always get a hold of me while the kid's been crying, keeping him up, and he's listening. I always appreciate the positive, the constructive criticism. And, Chris in Regina, get a hold of me, man. I hope you're listening. This show's for you. I hope you're listening. And I'd like to get back in touch with you. Scott out in Fort Wayne, I need to get you on the show, man. You keep ducking me. Got to get you on here. You can tell some Fort Wayne stories. I do the show for you guys, for all you guys, and it's been a lot of fun, I'm not trying to skip out on people or forget your names, or, I mean, I appreciate every one of you. Dave here in town, we gotta go for beers when all this gets straightened out, I could go on and on. Mike Haley sent me a really nice, text the other night, congratulated me on the 100, and I appreciate it, Mike. And I really wish I was getting paid downloads when I had you on the show. Like I said, you're my highest rated show, but we weren't doing download numbers then. But Mike was great, and he spread the word out to everybody, and that's been great. Chris Graff, another guy who actually was the reason I had Haley on the show, because he gave me your phone number. And Chris has got me a couple names. Chris Waltz, there's another one. Great guest. He's been great getting me guys. The players have all been, have been great as well. Oh, you should get this guy on. I'll give you his number. Stuff like that. That's been awesome. Devin Francon, same thing. All the guys. Parsons. Everybody. Frank Kovacs, all you guys. I mean, McMorrow has been a great guest. Promoted the shit out of it. Adam Huxley. Promoted the shit out of his episode. Lots of guys. Like I said, I could do another hour just thanking people. John Searson, Paul over in the UK have done nothing but promote my show. Probably to the point where everyone hates everybody, I think, doesn't like Searson over there anyway. So maybe he's hurting my show. I don't know. I'm getting attached to... My name's getting attached with his. Holy shit. I just thought of that. Oh, downhill. No, but I appreciate... Like, those guys have been my I was they're the fourth line voice UK office. They've been great promoting the show. All of you guys have been really great promoting the show. And it comes from you guys retweeting it. Word of mouth. Hey, I've seen people... Somebody will ask, hey, I need a hockey podcast. Oh, check out Fourth Line Voice. Thank you very much for doing that. You know, because like I said, where I'm not spitting chiclets. I'm not 31 Thoughts. I'm not John Scott's show. I'm not, you know, I don't have the big NHL Rolodex. Like, no, I'm not going to have Brian McGrattan and Ryan Reeves on anytime soon. I'm sure Cam Jansen's will, you know, but I don't have his Rolodex. So... you know, we're like the little engine that could, and I always say I'm the people's podcast, the fourth line. That's why I call it the fourth line voice, right? And it's your guys' show, so you know. And I mean, like I said, I don't know how big it's gonna get. You know, I understand it's got limited growth because I mean I can guarantee anybody under the age of 20, I'm sure my show scares the shit out of them. You know, so they're not gonna listen. So the new age fan certainly doesn't like my show. And that's fine. It's not for them. You know, and it's for, you know, the disenchanted fan or the, you know, the guy that's on Twitter all the time bitching that you know, every hit needs to be reviewed. Well, that's another thing. If you're on Twitter and you're tweeting at player safety to have a look at something, you're a fucking loser. Get a life, you fucking loser. Like, ugh. Anyway. For another day, I'm sure we'll have another rant here. Maybe on Sunday again, I don't know. But, you know, for everybody, Pat Barton. I know, Pat, you're out there listening. I always appreciate the support. Yeah, man. It's, I don't know what more to say. You know, Nixon, Lucic, Glove Dropper, all you guys, yeah, I could sit all day and name drop people that I know are listening. And just because I didn't call your name, don't mean I've forgotten about you or anything like that. Like I said, we'd be here for 3 hours if I named everybody. I don't have a list in front of me. I never wrote anything down. I don't have my phone open. I'm not scrolling anything. I'm just sitting back, looking out the window, and talking. Yeah, no, guys. In all seriousness. I can't thank everyone enough for making the show fun and for listening and for growing it. And yeah, hopefully we can do maybe 100 more. We'll see. And I have some guests lined up, and I'm always on the hunt for guests. And hey, and if you're listening out there and you're friends with a guy that you know, I'm friends with Kevin Evans, or I'm friends with whoever, some tough guy, you should get him on. Absolutely, I'll get him on. You know, drop me a line. And for you guys listening, for the players that are out there listening that I've asked and you're on the fence about, seriously, guys, let's. I know if you're nervous or whatever, I completely understand that. But honestly, let's do it. The fans would love to hear your story. I'll research it. I'm not going to surprise you with any questions. I'll make it really easy for you. I'll walk you through, and I'll give you the heads up on the names we can talk about beforehand. And, yeah, I don't know what more to tell you. Don't be nervous. I can't tell you that because you're going to be nervous, but I think once we get talking, you'll forget you're getting recorded. I'm just going by what people have told me. I've had nervous guys on before, and when it's all done, they're like, one, they say, I can't believe it's over. And I can't believe that was 2 hours, man. That was fast. And two, they're like, that was really easy. But I can't. You won't understand that until you're done. You got to take the leap of faith with me here. And there's some named guys that I've talked to you, and I know you're listening, and we've had the discussion. I'm not going to push you, but I'd love to have you on. But in saying that, I want to thank everybody again for all the support. The continued support, and I'm going to continue to try to do the best I can for you guys. And we got a tournament coming up on Twitter. I know I've said it before, but I'm going to try to get it done this weekend. I'll let you know. But other than that, guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 100. It's been fun. And we'll talk to you again on Sunday. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?